From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. So this week we had a lot of turmoil in the markets, in the Democratic debate, which was, and then, so what I thought I would do is, I think there's a lot of panic mode right now in the markets. So I asked Dean Hedeker. He's the principal at Hedeker Wealth, CPA, attorney, financial wealth planner, and he was just named one of the top wealth advisors from Forbes. So, welcome, Dean.
Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here.
I love being here. Getting a guy your high profile in here. God's blessing me, buddy.
No, I'm here with a high profile guy. No, it's all good. Thanks.
So, a lot of people right now are probably on the brink of the ledge to jump. And in about a month or two ago, and if anybody watches my YouTube channel, if you don't, please go to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio on YouTube. But I've been saying for a while now, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. You know what I mean by
that. They certainly do, Dad.
And all of a sudden, I knew it was just going to be like a sneeze or, you know, Trump, you know, his shoelaces coming undone or something, and the market was going to crash.
Right.
So now we got the coronavirus.
Yes, we do.
And the world is ending.
Yes, the world is coming to an end as we know it. And so everybody's going to die, and the world's coming to an end.
Yes.
And, you know, it's over. So that's why people, that's their rationale for selling.
Yeah. So what's your take? And we had a bunch of numbers come out this week.
Yep.
The GDP, the fourth quarter, manufacturing numbers, and other things come out. And I never thought the coronavirus was going to be that much of an impact on our stock market, let alone the whole world. And now you're seeing the ripple effect. It's like, you know, throwing a little rock or pebble in the pond, and now it's rippling out all over the world.
Yeah, and we now have the coronavirus in the United States,
right?
You know,
so what's your overall take of are we in, you know, false panic mode, or is it well substantiated that it is going to cause major havoc all over the world?
Well, I think the first thing is you need to step back a little bit. First of all, these market corrections, these market sell-offs, they occur routinely. You'll have market sell-off of at least 10% or more once a year, 15% or more once every 2 years, and 20% or more once every 3.5 years. So these things happen. Now, with respect to the coronavirus, the thing is that, yes, it's going to affect GDPs, and because of that, it's affecting stock valuations. The other thing we have to bear in mind is the fact that the stock market has been valued fairly rich for the last year or so. I mean, that run-up we had last year where the S&P was up 29%, you know, that's a big run-up.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is that all it would take is just something, some little thing, which is basically what we're seeing here. And so now you've got the sell-off that's occurring. And you're going to have volatility. We also have a year where, you know, we have a presidential election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect things. So I think what we need to bear in mind is there are going to be these sell-offs. These sell-offs are great buying opportunities to go into the market. If you're in the market, I wouldn't get too worried about it. I wouldn't jump out of it, because the problem with that is trying to figure out when to go back in.
Right.
And that's impossible. As a matter of fact, I remember giving a presentation in March of 2019 or 2009 when the market was at its low. And if I would have told people on that day to take all their money and put it in the market, they probably would have run me out of the place.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we just got to take step back a little bit. But I think the other thing you need to do is you need to take advantage, okay? And one of the things you can take advantage with, and this is your business, mortgage refis.
Yeah.
Right? Interest rates are low, right?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I heard that the 10-year treasury now is at its all-time low for 100 years.
Right, yeah.
And your mortgage rates are based on that.
Yeah, I follow every day. I post on YouTube what's going on with the MBS market. And I think at the end of the week, we're almost at the lowest ever. And that's the bond that trades that actually determines or dictates mortgage rates, which a lot of people don't know. Let's go down this path a little bit. Your take on the housing market, because I'll have guests on here, and I'm a mortgage guy. So I rely on people buying homes or refinancing homes for a living. So yes, I'll say I'm biased on the housing piece of the puzzle. But the opposite side is you'll have people saying, you know, get out of Illinois and don't buy a house and whatever. Well, I can't get out of Illinois. It's my business. Probably like you. You know, right. We got to be here. And so if you don't buy a house, you got to rent. Somebody's going to buy that house that you're going to have to pay their mortgage.
Right.
And then they have you by the, you know, whatevers. They can raise the rate and do whatever. If everybody's just house, all the houses are rentals.
Right.
I mean, that's not a good market.
Well, I think the thing is to bear in mind here in Illinois. Yeah, Illinois, we have a very high property tax state.
Right.
We have corporations closing down. Illinois is really not a good state. But having said that, yeah, people need to live somewhere. And if you're going to live anywhere for a long period of time, and I would say, you know, maybe 3 years or more, you know, I think it makes sense to own. And I really, you know, renting, because all you're doing when you're paying rent is you're paying someone else's mortgage.
Exactly.
You're paying their real estate taxes. I mean, you're paying their operating costs.
Right. And they're not taking a loss on their rents. They're cushioning it to at least make, if worst case scenario, they break even.
They have to make money on their money. I mean, that's a fact.
Right.
You know? So you can't. So, I think that if you're going to be for any period of time, you're probably better off owning. The other thing that comes with ownership is you walk into your house and you say home sweet home, you know, so there's something to be.
And there's a lot of tax benefits as well. Now, is it worth buying a house because of you can write off 100% of the interest, the taxes, and maybe not in all cases, but you can write off the taxes. Is that one particular reason maybe to rent and possibly get some appreciation?
Well, the thing with the tax law, what's happened now under the new law, which is going to expire in 2020 and the 2025, is that most people are not itemizing their deductions anymore. There's no need for them to itemize. And I think it's about 90-95% of the people are no longer itemizing. And because of that, essentially they're not taking a deduction for their mortgage interest or their real estate taxes. So the tax argument doesn't carry it's not relevant anymore.
Okay, got it.
Now, in the state of Illinois, you can take a credit for a piece of your real estate taxes, but it's insignificant.
Okay. So, and again, I'm a mortgage guy, but what I want to do with the show is give the facts.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm a strong believer of the First Amendment, but you see so many of these shows that, you know, if you're right-wing radio or TV, it's completely different story if you're left-wing radio. So it's like, guys, can somebody please just tell me the truth?
Yeah, the problem is now with the radio, I agree with you, is that you now have to listen to two or three radio stations and try to figure out what's, you know, in between all of that, because each one is biased and you got to deal with the biases. But here the thing is that, no, we want to be, we want to be upfront. And the reality of it is that the tax deduction argument, I don't think it carries any weight anymore.
However, it being a Forbes, just recently getting the award of being one of the Forbes top wealth managers, your perception behind the whole thing would still be buying a home.
Yeah. No, as a matter of fact, I own a home, you know, and I put my money where my mouth is.
Got it.
And I love owning a home, you know, and it's more than just dollars and cents.
Got it. So tell everybody a little of your bio. And then in the next segment, I really want to dig into concentrate on some things. to give people, you know, very much, you know, I'll say microscope some of the areas of the markets and things that they can look out for. But what's your bio, if you can just give us a brief little snippet of that?
Quick rundown. I'm an attorney as well as a CPA, and I've been practicing in the field of taxation and investments really since the late 80s. I've seen a lot of markets. I've seen a lot of tax law changes. And I think the big thing here is, with all of that, is that you need to be able to take advantage of the change that occurs. And there's going to be changes in the markets, changes in the tax laws, and changes in the legal laws. And so what we do at our firm is we do the wealth management, we do the estate planning, and the tax returns all in one place. And I think it's very important that everything be bundled together, because this way the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
Got it. So when we come back, what I want to do is basically dig down in and ask you, maybe have a little Q&A session to advise people on the markets, maybe some specific investments they should make with tax laws, what you see the markets doing here in the future, because, you know, that plays a big role in people's retirements as well. So I want to thank those sponsors out there: Dottie Dose with Echo Home Inspections, Inc., Gary Hall of Remax Central, AD Supplies, Pat Frio, Stort Ramirez with East Signature Realty, Tom Mirabali, your independent insurance provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Pat Noon of PJN Tax Solutions Group, CreditScoresAndMore.com, and Universal Masonry Group, Joe Tribuzio. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dean Hedeker, Principal of Hedeker Wealth.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I, of course, am Dan Frio. We have Dean Hedeker here of Hedeker Wealth. He's the principal there. And here's what I want to talk about. Why we asked him in is to talk those people off the ledge that are seeing their 401ks and their retirement accounts just crumble this week. So there's your advice at the beginning of the show, or in the first segment, was, you know, don't panic, don't get out of the market, because it's very hard to time. Mortgage rates are probably among the lowest they've ever been, ever, ever, ever in history. So those are all good things, kind of good things. The bad news is for those senior citizens that are relying on interest from any accounts that they have, because they're probably not heavily weighted in the stock market. Probably not. It's bonds or fixed income assets or something. Those yields have come down probably dramatically, and I'm sure you see this, cutting their monthly, you know, income maybe in half. Go down that road with me. If somebody's out there and they're retired or close to retirement, what do they need to do to prep themselves for these corrections?
Well, I think the thing is this. First of all, what you're seeing is interest rates at all-time lows. So the problem there is if you put money in a bank and you put it in a CD, you basically get nothing out of it. You go out and buy bonds, you get nothing out of those. You have no alternatives, is the problem. And so people are putting money into the stock market because at least there they have a chance of getting something. The issue with the stock market is that it goes through its volatility, which is what we're seeing, you know, during this week. And so the point is what seniors are seeing is the values of their assets being impacted, and to a significant extent, by this volatility and low interest rates, this combination. Now, people need money to live, and so the point is where do you draw it from? And really, up until now, what people have always said, well, you know, I'm going to draw it out of my financial accounts and I'm going to do that. But the worst thing you can do, especially in a down market, is to fund your retirement out of stock market investments that are down. You know, and right. Because that's going to affect how long your portfolio is going to last. Another technique you can use, and it's been written about in the financial journals and things, is to use a reverse mortgage. Yes, I know. I said reverse mortgage.
That's bad.
The Death Star. I know that. But the products are much different than they used to be. Yeah. And in the old days, reverse mortgages were basically a mortgage of last resort. It was the worst thing to do when you did it, only if you had nothing, no alternative. But nowadays, the products are actually much different. And so the thing you can do is you can use your reverse mortgage basically like a home equity loan and use it in periods when there's downtrends in the market. That way you keep your portfolio intact and just use your spend the money out of the reverse mortgage. Now, the thing is that if you ask any of the kids, what would they like to inherit? Would they like to inherit a house or would they like to inherit a financial account? I can guarantee you that 99% of the kids are going to say, no, I don't want mom and dad's house.
Right.
I want mom and dad's portfolio. Well, if you do a reverse mortgage, what happens is it has the effect of keeping the portfolio together longer, which the kids can inherit. And with the house, okay, so it's got some, it's collateralized. The kids will get less money out of the house, but they really don't care. I mean, it's just a way of maximizing your available assets, and one of your assets is your house.
Got it. When you just said that, the hair on the back of my neck just stood up, because I'll have people, even attorneys will call me, and I have one attorney that calls me every time he has somebody in that they're kind of devastated. And this was a couple years ago. I said to the gentleman, I said, why don't we look at a reverse mortgage? And he's like, why would they do that? They're going to live another 5, 6, 7 years. So they're going to give the house to the bank just so they can live there for 5 years.
Yeah. The common thought is that if you do a reverse mortgage, that the house goes to the bank and that's it. But that's not how it works. So people need to be educated really about how these reverse mortgages work. And yeah, I know I'm saying the Death Star of mortgages, but yeah, I can tell you that I've seen it in situations, again, where you have people with, you know, stock market investments or investments that are down. The best place to draw it from is from another asset, and the other asset is your house.
You know, right. So. And it's a constant value, or in most cases, maybe not in Illinois, in most cases, it's an appreciating asset. So let's say you take out the monies and then, you know, that it's still going to appreciate, especially in today's market.
But my point is this. My point is if you pull the money out of the IRA when it's down, there's even going to be a lot less over your lifetime.
Right.
I mean, if you pull it out of a house, you're still able to live in the house.
Right.
It's not impacting that at all. And the fact of the matter is that, and I know the kids are going to say, don't do a reverse mortgage and all that. I get all that. But the reality of it is the kids would come out ahead.
Right.
You know, there was a journal written by Wade Fow, who's the scholar in the financial planner circles. And Wade made a very, he ran all the numbers, he wrote a book on it. And it's very convincing and actually basically makes the case for the new style reverse mortgage, not the old stuff.
Yeah.
So
most people don't even know you can make payments to the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just treat it as a mortgage.
You could
use it as that supplemental income when you need it. And then as your assets go back up, then maybe take some money out, pay it off, do whatever. Or don't invest any more money into your 401k. Now use those payments and start paying down that mortgage piece on the house. There's multiple ways to do it.
You have a lot of flexibility.
And okay. Just got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How'd you become one of the top wealth advisors in Forbes magazine? That's a huge accomplishment.
Well,
God bless you, man.
Well, thank you. It just took a lot of years of hard work and meeting with a lot of clients and helping them. And, they go through a pretty rigorous process.
So how does Forbes find you?
Well, they apparently what they do is they identify all the financial advisors in the United States. And then the top ones, they send out an application form for, and you have to go through the application. Then what they do is they interview you. They'll look at all the metrics of your practice. And I don't, you know, frankly, I don't know all of it. And the reason is they don't want you to know the secret sauce.
Right. Then you can manipulate it.
Because you're going to game the system.
Yeah.
You know, so all I know is that, yeah, I've been on the list. Now this is the third year. And we keep moving up. now we're number 18 on the list. I think we started out in 66 in the first year. So it's a good thing. It's a great honor.
That's amazing. Yeah. So some of the other accomplishments you have, I know that you're a lot of times you're on TV. You're a special guest there. So what I'm getting at is you're not just the average, you know, investment guy that's out there. Call us and stop by or, you know, do this, whatever. I mean, you are kind of the top of the tier in a lot. I'm not trying to, you know, blow smoke up your you know what. But, I mean, it's not like you're just and you're. Another thing is you came in and said a reverse mortgage, which is uncommon coming from a position that you're in.
Right.
So what are all the things that your firm does for people?
Well, our firm, again, I've always believed that clients want to have one place where they can turn to, where they can get everything handled and basically meet with essentially a quarterback of a team. And what they do when they come into our office, they meet with me and I am the quarterback of the team. And I will make sure that your tax returns are properly handled, that no mistakes are made on the returns. We'll make sure that the investments are invested properly with proper diversification and also with a view towards tax efficiency, because you can make a ton of money, but you can lose a lot of money too if you're not tax sensitive. And I think the third thing is we want to make sure that we have the estate plans in place so that when the eventual disability happens, and I'm not talking about physical disability, I'm talking about mental disability. When disability happens, your family members or trusted people can step in and handle things without you having to resort to the court system. Same thing is true in the event of death, and also same thing is true in the form of taxation. And again, you know, we work our butts off to earn money. The last thing we want to do is give it to the government.
Gotcha. And then I know that most of the wealth in the country has been given down or shared from future or past generations. So your dad was probably CEO of some big corporation or maybe, you know, CEO of a big bank or investment firm. I'm probably right?
Dan, my dad is a lot like your dad, okay? My dad was a baker, and he would come into work at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, actually, and he'd work all day, and that's what we did. And as a matter of fact, when I was going to school, the way I paid for my education is I worked in the bakery, and I worked night shift and all that stuff.
So just meeting you, I could tell that you weren't from old money.
No, no.
You have a great personality. Nope. You're easy to talk to. You have one of the biggest things you said, too, is you're the quarterback. You meet the people. They don't walk into this office and then they're seeing your assistant because you're out on the golf course or you're whatever. That's awesome, because it's like I always tell people, when you call us, you'll talk to me. You know, you're not going to talk to a team member in 99% of the cases, because I want you to feel like you're somebody.
Well, that's important. Obviously, we get our work done through our assistants, who are great assistants, the people we have working at your office as well as my office. These are great people. But the thing is that you and I both need to tie it all together. And the way we tie it all together is sitting down and spending some quality time with our clients.
And worked our butts off to get where we are. And then you appreciate it a lot more. Oh, when you finally get there.
It's wonderful.
So
it's a great
awesome.
Life.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Dean Hedeker, principal with Hedeker Wealth, just was named one of Forbes' top wealth advisors in the country. So God bless you. Thanks for coming in. Hope to have you back again sometime.
Thank you, Dan. It was great talking to you.
All right,
thank you.
Take care. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. Of course, this is Dan Frio. I got the special guest that I wanted today, especially it's political season. John Anthony, host of Black and Right, that you can hear Saturdays on WIND Radio from 1 to 3 p.m. Welcome, John. Thanks for coming on board,
buddy. Hey, thanks so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
You betcha.
I don't know about the guests you wanted, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
I'll do.
Well, it was like we keep going down the list. One, no. They said no. No,
exactly.
They said no.
I'm glad.
You think he'll say yeah? Hey, he said yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming on. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, so thanks so much for having me.
You're into this political world. So we got a lot of the primaries coming up. Who are you following? And let me ask who you're following and why. I guess that's the best way to put it.
I think the two telltales in Illinois will be the 14th and the 6th. The 14th congressional, which was previously held by Randy Holkland, is now Congressman Underwood. And the 6th, which was previously held by Congressman Roskam, is now held by Sean Casten.
Mm-hmm.
In the 14th, they have like 19 million candidates. In the 6th, it's Jeannie Ives and I think it's Jay Kindler.
Yeah.
So I think those are the two to watch because they're known as Republican seats, but two Democrats occupy them at the moment.
Got it. So why did they turn, do you think?
Well, I think healthcare. See Stephen Tucker, I don't know if you know him.
No.
But he was on the show. And I think healthcare was one of the biggest reasons, the pre-existing condition things. I think Republicans did not know how to articulate that in a way. And a lot of people in those districts, which you have a lot of senior citizens, thought they were going to lose their healthcare. And I think that was, and then the blue wave, the blue wave in those districts was huge.
It was funny because last week we had on Steve Cortez on the show and we talked some of these issues. And one of the things I brought up was the First Amendment. I'm strongly First Amendment. But the thing that they didn't expect was for news or news outlets or quasi journalists coming out with just lies. They come out and they spread this rhetoric that is just nonsense, just like the debate this week. Bernie Sanders has this great plan of healthcare. And I'm listening to it and you're like, dude, there's no chance that this is things like that are going to pass. I guess I'll say no chance. But it's like you going out there saying, okay, if you elect me, everybody's going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not going to happen. But people sit there and if you pound it enough, they're like, well, if I vote for him, I'm going to be a millionaire. And it's just like there's no way it's going to get through any of the channels, but they sit there and that's what they run on. And it just drives you nuts because they do have people that think, all that's going to take place. And then they badmouth the Obamacare thing and they're the ones that put it in place in the first place. So it's crazy.
I do think socialism will be the cup of tea in 10 to 15 years in America if we don't put a stop to it now.
I agree.
And that's one of the reasons why I hope Bernie is the candidate, because I really believe that Trump will do a masterful job of explaining and showing and highlighting the differences between what capitalism and the free market would do and what socialism, communistic ideologies and what they've done. I think it will be a masterful display for all to see the differences between the two. And I'm so hoping it's Bernie.
Yeah. Same here. You watch the Democratic debate and they're up there like, 6 or 8 or how many there are now. Kindergartners trying to get the attention of the teacher. Right here. And they're all talking over each other. It's like, can you give the at least the person that the question's asked the courtesy to answer? It's going to be just a round robin anyways. So whatever.
Exactly.
So what's here?
I don't call them debates. I call it a discussion about how best to destroy America.
Yeah.
That's what it really is.
And then let's cut down the other person as much as we can, even if it's lies, and hopefully something sticks. So whatever. On one of the shows, we had Alan Skillicorn on, and Madigan. I didn't realize how much power he had. And then we also talked about it with Steve Cortez, and he's like, outside of Illinois, nobody knows this guy. He's a master of kind of being in the closet, but having, the puppet strings. Everybody doing exactly what what's your take on that?
Yeah, I would say outside of Illinois, he is known amongst the political people. I think as far as people just going about their everyday life, they have no clues as to who Mike Madigan is. Because I used to be a part of GOPAC, and I would go and meet with different legislators from all over the country. And we would have these meetings, and people were like, oh, Illinois is here. Uh-oh, Mike Madigan, where is he at? They would make jokes about him. But, I mean, he's powerful because listen, I'm not in the political game anymore, but so many people are afraid to make observations about him that's good. He's a masterful tactician.
Yeah.
So the Republicans are playing Connect Four while Madigan's playing checkers. And it's the same pieces you use for Connect Four that you use for checker pieces. Different board, though. And that's the difference.
Gotcha.
And that's where I believe the Republicans have to get better at messaging. They need a better operation, and they need to find a way to develop more money and understand voter intimacy. People don't care nothing about your what until they understand your why.
Yeah,
and the Republicans do a bad job in laying out why we want to remove Mike Madigan, because, oh, he's corrupt. That's not going to do it.
Right.
You got to understand the voting populace of Chicago and these pockets of power that he has. But the Republican Party, and I think they have a good executive director right now in Derek Murphy, who does get it. I've known this kid since he was in high school, and I really think he has a vision that he's going to try to tear down that wall a bit.
The elections, we all complain about the results. That some of the highest tax, we had a conversation before, you brought up the taxes in Illinois. I mean, you said we're what, second highest in the country?
$4,700, and I believe is New Jersey with $5,100 or $5,300. So think about that.
We keep, everybody complains about crime, the unemployment, especially in the inner cities, the schools. I mean, just this week they came out with the corruption in Chicago public school systems, the cheating on the tests. All schools have an hour to complete. They're letting these kids take this, 10-hour tests and take the tests home to try to get the scores up as high as you can. But then they go to the negotiation table, and they're all getting raises. They're getting their pension plans doubled, and they're getting, I know I'm exaggerating, but it's like
system's
broke.
Especially not pension. You're not exaggerating with the pension, because some people wait until the last 3 or 4 years of your cycle to get bumped up in that pension. Remember, it's based upon the last
pay.
Right. So, it's ridiculous what's happening in this state, but we can fix it. People call me naive and stupid, but I really believe Illinois can rebound in 5 to 10 years with a good, solid plan, a good, solid economic plan. And we just got to be willing to do it and do the hard work that it takes to turn this state around.
Give us a couple ideas what you think can turn the tables.
Well, I think when you look at the Illinois financial picture, right? You look at the pension system. When I was in the General Assembly, I actually voted to allow the General Assembly to change the pension system. I mean, when you think about getting 3% compounded per year, I would too. But when you look at our counterparts within the private sector, they can't get anywhere near that. But also, when you look at, I believe the unfunded pension, at least when I was still in the General Assembly, it was up to like $135 billion. I'm told it's almost close to $200 billion of unfunded pension debt liability.
Yeah.
Think about that. If that is like the gorilla that's strangling the neck of Illinois, and we have to figure out a way to push back against that, because if we continue down this path, Illinois cannot return. And we also have to put this state back in the hands of the producers, the entrepreneurs, the people that can make that are the drivers, the true drivers of economic productivity. It is not government. Government can never, they can produce some jobs, but the entrepreneurs of this state need to be in the driver's seat, pushing and making things happen. And with all these regulations and all these things that are choking the very life out of them, they're not able to do it. We have to be able to push back, because we have the greatest infrastructure throughout the Midwest and probably throughout this country, the roads, the airports, the waterways. I mean, when you look at that, tell me why Illinois shouldn't be leading and in the driver's seat.
I get it. But the problem is you have the puppet master back behind the curtain that's not going to allow any of this to be done. And God bless you, when you go down, when you were part of the legislation, you went into it and probably voted for pension reforms, term limits.
Yeah,
you voted all the stuff that we all, if you put it on a ballot, you'd probably get 99% approval ratings.
You would.
But it's not going anywhere because Madigan won't allow it to go anywhere. It doesn't matter who the governor is. Doesn't matter, all you guys getting voted in. And again, thank you for what you did. But it's again, we're back to insanity. It's not going to change. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on. I know that you stream every one of your shows on Facebook.
I do.
Can I go there and see last Saturday's show?
You know what? Last night of the show was, oh, you got George. I hate you. I hate George.
Yeah, George, the producer, he's the one that asked me to ask you that.
I actually was trying to trim the video for a guest to send it to them, which I normally do. But I did it a different way through Facebook instead of my software.
Yeah.
And when I deleted that video, it actually deleted the entire video. Don't, I was like, oh.
Don't you hate that? When you spend all this time doing something, then you hit click and it's like, you got to be kidding me. Oh. No. So George put me up to that. My apologies.
Yeah, I know he did. So, I know he did. You bum.
So, hey, I'd love to have you on once a month if you'd agree to it. It was awesome talking to you. I haven't talked to you before. I've listened to your shows, but I haven't talked to you. So you've been a great guest, and I greatly appreciate your time coming on. Maybe we can be the black and Italian. You know, we won't be the black and right, the black and Italian guy talking politics. So
sounds good.
All righty, man. So I want to thank you so much. Again, you can hear John Anthony every Saturday on WIND Radio, Black and Right. It's 1 to 3 p.m. every Saturday. So tune in. His show is awesome. I listen to it every week. So God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again for coming.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. I hope to see you soon.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. I have friends, sponsor, and your independent insurance provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Tom Maraboli.
Getting higher on the totem pole. Thanks,
hey,
Dan.
There,
how are
Buster?
You? What's going on, kid?
So, this week, we had the presidential debate.
Oh!
Bernie's the front runner. So one of the biggest things he's running on is Medicare for All.
Yes.
I'm a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of it. And I'm not saying I'm the brightest bulb in the packet.
Yeah. Right.
But if I don't get it, if you're not on Medicare, you probably have no clue what they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Can you just explain it?
Well, it depends. See, Medicare over 65, you know, you're going to go get your Medicare A and B card, and then you're going to get a Medicare supplement. Okay. Once you reach the ripe old age of 65, there's rules and regulations where you can go ahead and you go to the Social Security. You find out how much money you're going to be receiving at age 65, or full retirement might be 66.
Okay.
Depends upon when you all were born.
Right.
So they'll give you that figure. Okay. And then when you actually do retire, and you're over 65, and you can take it as early as 62, but you get a lower Social Security, you're going to sign up at 65 for a Medicare A and a Medicare B card.
Okay.
And with the Medicare A and B, that pays approximately 80% of the Medicare approved charges for hospitalization, doctor visits, whatever.
Okay.
And you have to buy a Medicare supplement that will pick up the other 20% of Medicare approved charges. Medicare doesn't approve of it. They're not paying it. Okay. Now, this Medicare for All that Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are blabbing about, this is all under age 65.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, wait a second. This is the same. They're just throwing a different angle at this conversation, because you could get Medicare or Medicaid for a family, for an individual, and you could live off of that. Okay. People are living off of that. So what is Sanders saying? What is Elizabeth Warren saying? We already have these systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to schmooze the American public by saying, oh, Dan, we have a new program. It's not a new program. It's lipstick on a pig. Remember that saying?
Got it. Yeah.
That's Medicaid. Medicaid, you can make as an individual approximately $17,232 in earnings in 1 year, for one person, and you could get Medicaid. You don't have to buy any health insurance. You're on Medicaid.
Okay.
So, at any age.
Okay.
Under 65.
Okay.
Under 65.
Okay. Yeah.
And then for two people, let's say you have a husband and wife. Let's say they're getting up there in years. They get, and this is today's numbers, $23,340 a year, which is approximately $1,945 a month times 12. That is for two people, $23,340 a year. And that Medicaid is your health insurance.
Okay.
Now, if you have a family, it's a little bit different. They told me the mom and dad get $29,436, and then the child or children have to get readjusted, and that's on top of the $29,436. That figure is basically for a year.
Got
okay.
it. Yeah.
And then the people are on Medicaid. So they don't, they go to hospitals that accept Medicaid, go to doctors that accept Medicaid, and they're not paying a health insurance premium. So
got it.
What on a political side, what are these people trying to do when they say Medicare for all? It's just Medicaid. You don't even have to have a job, Dan.
Okay. So that's, so then question I got yeah. is how about somebody that makes $50,000?
You can go on the Affordable Care Act, which I shouldn't
Dude,
call
that's
it.
Not even Affordable Care
well,
Act.
I was just going to say.
We just had that on my last segment.
I can't
And we
say
talked
that.
About this before. Yeah. It is not affordable.
No way. No way. I should just call it the Obamacare. Because now with Obamacare, as you start to make more money, let's say this individual, he makes, let's say he makes $19,000 instead of $17,232.
Yeah.
Okay. He can't get the Medicaid because he made too much money.
Right.
And he'll get a he'll go into Obamacare and get a very small subsidy, a premium tax credit,
mm-hmm.
because he only makes $19,000.
Right.
Okay. And then that basically goes up and up and up to a certain point relative to the federal poverty level. And so that federal poverty level runs about $31,225. And then, you know.
Then you go over to somebody who needs their own insurance through the Obamacare, and we'll call it that because yeah. it's not affordable, that makes $80,000,
$90,000. Okay.
They're paying $1,500.
Oh, easy.
And mine went all the way up until I took employment it with preferred rate.
Uh-huh.
Is mine, I think, was going to $1,800, and this is another segment I want to talk to you
yeah.
about,
okay.
with a $20,000 deductible.
Okay.
And then co-pays and all this other stuff. That's where okay. I get really confused. I want you to talk about it. Now, I might do a YouTube exclusive with you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just to explain the terms.
Sure.
And I might do that because we have a lot of followers on YouTube that mm-hmm. I want to do an exclusive thing mm-hmm. of just explaining insurance.
Well, you see, this year, not to interrupt, but this yeah. year, it's gone up to $8,150 cash out of your pocket plus $8,150 out of your spouse's pocket. So that's $16,300 before your bills are paid at 100% for the family.
So you're paying $1,500 a month. So you're paying $18,000,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you're plus the other
$8,150.
Plus
$8,150. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about
and
it.
Now
$16,300
we'll
yeah. plus your $18,000. So now you're at over almost $35,000 for health insurance.
That's money.
It's
I mean, it's
money.
Not like it's like, no. you know, well, the government's. So here's, okay, let me turn yeah. the tables around. Here's my frustration. You see the, you know, Bernie Sanders up there.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, it's a political thing.
That's
we're
okay.
going to talk about now.
We're on top of it.
In the background are a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a clue.
Most of them, maybe in college, maybe just got out of college. They're mm-hmm. all, they want their free tuitions and they want their free insurances and they want the government to take care of them and everything. That's on my side where it gets frustrating because it's mm-hmm. like, guys, you just don't get it.
No, they don't.
For the government to pay this stuff,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where do they get the money?
Oh, that's where they come up with they're taxing 2% on billionaires or 1% yeah. on billionaires.
Then Bernie pressed, well, mm-hmm. anybody, their taxes are going to go up if you make more than $29,000 or $25,000 mm-hmm. or whatever. It's like,
right.
So you are taxing me more.
Yes, you are.
So it's not being paid by the government. It's everybody that has a job.
Correct.
That's where it drives me nuts.
And the kids don't get that.
Right.
Because they don't
have a job. I remember my son's first paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Even my daughter, she works every summer at the pool.
Yeah.
She'll make, her check will come in at $200 for the 2 weeks she works
sure.
or whatever.
Whatever.
And she nets 100.
Okay.
She's like,
where'd my money go?
Why did I only get 100 bucks? Duh. You know, now you, once you get out there and experience some of this stuff,
right.
that's when it starts to tick you off.
Right. Right.
So, okay. Oh. My blood's up today.
Well, the kids, I'm telling you, it should be because I don't have any children, but the kids are basically deer in the headlights. Deer's
right.
in the headlight
right.
because they don't get it.
Right. Well, they, most of them haven't had a job, or they're on their first job, and they're, you know, or they're probably holding off on that job because they want to, they just graduated from college.
Yeah.
So now they're privied, and now they should be CEO.
Yeah.
Because they have the degree.
Yeah,
so they
right.
should, I'm not taking a job for less than $100,000. Sorry for, I'm not trying to be the kid basher today.
No, I understand, but it's reality.
Yes. And it's they're crushing all these false promises that they're making.
Yes.
Is just, you know, and half this stuff, you can promise, and I said this on the previous segment,
yeah.
you know, they're coming out there basically saying, oh, vote for me and you'll be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no way it's going to happen.
No way.
But you have the people sitting there, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire, so I'm going to vote this person in. So
sure. Everybody wants to be Bill yeah. Gates and whoever, whatever, yeah. and however. It just, you got to work at it. You got to work the stream.
So let's go back to yeah. the insurance piece. Okay. Sure. So what's the most common misunderstood piece of the insurance puzzle?
That you can buy health insurance plans outside of the Obamacare plans without maternity coverage. Everybody from age 19 to age 64 has to have maternity coverage in Obamacare, whether they want it or not. Okay?
Got it.
This is how I'm helping people substantially, because I sell plans, PPO plans, that accept more doctors, more hospitals, because Obamacare, a lot of hospitals don't take it. Why? Because Obamacare doesn't pay the prevailing rate for these hospitals to make money. Doctors don't take, a lot of doctors don't take Obamacare because they don't make any money.
Gotcha.
I sell these plans constantly and renew them and renew them and renew them. Without the maternity coverage, people are saving $400 to $500 a month per person, mom and dad, let's call
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
And they're thrilled. They're thrilled.
We're pressed for time.
Okay.
So here's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to thank those sponsors out there. Dottie Dose with Echo Home Inspections, Inc., Gary Hall of REMAX Central, AD Supplies, Pat Frio, Stort Ramirez with eSignature Realty, Pat Noon of PJN Tax Solutions Group, CreditScoresAndMore.com, Universal Masonry Group, and Tom Maraboli. He is your independent insurance provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming in. Thanks for sponsoring the show.
Oh,
it's
thank
a privilege
you.
To have you here. Also, to hear any of my shows or past shows or find any of my sponsors, you can go to themortgageupdate.net. That's themortgageupdate.net. I want to do an exclusive with you
great.
On YouTube. So look up The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I want the most misunderstood pieces of the insurance puzzle. I'm going to just throw stuff at you.
Yeah.
So you can explain it in just as basic terms for everybody to understand. So God bless. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.